You're here in Edmonton today giving a workshop to journalists on part of a panel that's been set up by the Canadian Institutes for Health Research. What is it that you're focusing on with your research?
We're working with Aboriginal communities in the north of Quebec, and we know there is a high rate of suicide, especially among young people. So we're trying to understand what bring young people to commit suicide and what are the strategies that could be taken to prevent the occurrence of suicide in those communities.
What is the rate of suicide for Aboriginal communities? Is it higher than others?
Oh, yes. It is for the whole of Canada. In the village where we work, it's about, for the time being, it's about 100 per 100,000. That's about 8 times the rate of Canada. So among the Inuits, it's even higher. But in some villages, it's absent or very low. So there is a lot of variation. Even within one nation, for instance, we were working with the Anishinaabe Algonquin, and in some villages very high, in other villages almost absent.
And does it seem to be like higher amongst the youth, or is it spread out across all ages in the community?
No, it is mostly concentrated among younger people. When I say younger, it's below 35. We have very, very few suicides above 35 years of age. And there is a lot more under 18 years of age. And in that age group, we have a lot of girls. You know, we know that suicide is a male phenomenon, but in people below 18, in the indigenous community, we have relatively more girls who commit suicide.
Why is that? What's contributing to the suicide amongst the Aboriginal youth?
Well, there's not one factor. There's a lot of factors. We have to do the history of the Aboriginal communities in Canada. The history of the residential schools has been a big factor in breaking the culture. The conversion to religion, you know, they lost their religions. Their leaders have been replaced by the priest or by other ministers. So there's been a breakup of the culture. But that does not explain why it's starting now rather than 50 years ago. You know, because a lot of people were taken to residential schools, they lost the sense of what is a family. And when they came back and had children, they were completely lost about what to do with children because they had never been in a family. And, you know, they had been abused on many levels at the school. And so they were also, I would say, psychologically broken. And because they had a lot of trauma, that also is associated with alcohol consumption. And so all these factors were grouped together, and that's why we have much more neglected children in the present generation than there was before. And a lot of these children were placed outside of the indigenous community and had to come back after when they were a major at 18 years old. So that's another problem. So things have accumulated. There used to be more jobs with the forestry before, and now it's becoming, you know, a big industry, but, you know, it's mechanized and there is not as much manpower. So a lot of people lost their jobs. Jobs that were around their reservations are not existing anymore.
So is it a sense of hopelessness?
Yeah, there is a sense that there is no future for young people. You know, they don't see what they're going to do with their future. And they are very scared of going outside of their community to, you know, to maybe spend a few years, get a job, because they are not prepared. And they will be facing racisms. And they're not used to find racisms in their reservation, so they're not equipped like the black children in the United States are much better equipped to face racisms than Aboriginal people who have lived on reservations where they were relatively protected from that. So they're scared of the outside community, and the white population that doesn't know how to deal with them. So. That will be a problem in the future, because I think we will see a lot of migrations to the city. But they will probably go to the big cities where it's more anonymous. But that will be a trend in the future.
In your presentation today, you had some very astounding statistics. One in particular that really caught my eye was the sense of a familial link with suicide. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we find that suicide is more concentrated in some families, and we see a lot of men who commit suicide had a brother who committed suicide before, or who will commit suicide after they have. That's 40% of, so that's a lot of suicide being concentrated in some families. And, you know, that's understandable that the brothers will live together, they will, they will celebrate together, they will drink together, they'll have fun, they will cry together. Whereas in the general Canadian population, you know, after you get adolescent, each will go its own way, so they're more autonomous, so that if one brother commit suicide, it won't impact so much on the rest of the family as you find in Aboriginal community.
So you're looking at what the statistics are, but is there anything that can be done in terms of prevention now that you know that there is this incredible problem?
Yeah. One part of our project is oriented toward prevention. And what we do is we have a program in the school which start discussing problems, emotional problems. But the basic story is made with legends of Atikamek or Aboriginal communities. And so this is a weekly experience. So children learn to talk about their problems, to discuss them, to exchange. And we hope that will break the culture of silence that we find in many communities, many families. It's a long-term project. That alone won't prevent suicide, but I think that with other initiatives that will take place, we should in the long range be able to prevent suicide.
Are there lessons from what you're learning from Aboriginal communities that can be applied to the population at large?
I don't know if we could learn from suicide prevention, but we could learn about Aboriginal communities, because even though there is a lot of suicides, the environment is not depressing. You know, there's a lot of activities, there's a lot of young people, there's a lot of interaction, and there is a lot of helping networks. So, you know, when I come back from the communities, even though I hear all kinds of stories, I'm not depressed usually. I say, well, these people are able to face problems. I don't know if I would be able to do it in my own life. And so there is a resilience, resistance that, you know, that are examples. And if the, I think if the Canadian population will know about it, you know, they will learn to respect the Aboriginal people and to understand their life experience. So there should be more participation. We should know much better what's going on within these communities, so that we feel empathy. We you know, we understand a little bit, and that's how we will stop racism. We cannot just say stop racism. We have to understand better their way of life, and so and I think that. If we know more about their way of life, we will respect them more, you know, and there'll be less racism in the long range.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.